But with the passing of Justice Ginsburg, some on the left are calling this apocalypse now.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, just when you think that this year can't get any more intense, that there are not going to be any more shocks, we have yet another shock, another jolt. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, actually getting ready to record a segment with Governor Huckabee on The Huckabee Show, talking about my book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, just in the back room talking with some other folks, and someone says, have you heard Justice Ginsburg died? I mean, just the jolt of here, you know, we haven't heard that she's been sick. She was in the hospital, then out, and no news of this, and suddenly gone, and yet another jolt. And when does it happen? The announcement comes early Friday evening. So depending where you were in the Jewish world, either the Jewish New Year had just begun or was about to begin. So it sobers everything up to a higher level still, and you know the implications of this, the shaking of this, where this is going is momentous. So it intensifies yet the most intense year in memory in American history. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Now, I've got a question for you. Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I've got a question for you. If you have an opinion on whether or not President Trump and the Senate should try to push through a nominee to fill Justice Ginsburg's place, I want to hear from you. You say, well, why is there a controversy? Well, 4 years ago, there was a controversy when Justice Scalia suddenly died. Now, Justice Scalia, Justice Ginsburg on opposite ends of the poll judicially, and yet we're good friends, amazingly enough. Went to opera together, and yet we're worlds apart in terms of their judicial ideology and where they landed on things like abortion. But when Justice Scalia suddenly passes away, then President Obama wants to appoint or nominate Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. Well, there is an outcry over that from the Republicans. No, this is not the thing to do. You wait for the next election so the people can vote and the people can decide who they want as president, and that president can make that decision. Now, the flip side argument would be, what are you talking about? What do you mean? We elected the president for 4 years, and he does what he does for 4 years. And then after that, then the next president comes in. So this is up to President Obama. But the counter answer would be, hang on. The problem is the Senate is Republican. So the president, Democrat, the Senate, Republican. So there's division there. If it had been in harmony, say, with Senate and with president, both Democrat or both Republican, then it would be different. Lindsey Graham said, no, we don't do it at a time like this. Use my words against me. Now he's saying, no, we do want to get a replacement for Justice Ginsburg. And when people say, what about your quote? He said, well, you lost everything with the Kavanaugh hearings. In other words, when you crossed all lines of decency and decorum and did what you did to try to sabotage the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, then that was enough to get me to change my opinion. In any case, do you think the Republicans are being hypocritical to push now for a replacement for Justice Ginsburg, when the same Republicans, in many cases the same individuals, said no to pushing through another nominee under President Obama, and there was much more time to do it then? Or is it the right thing to do, the righteous thing to do? We'll take you later to a poll I did on Twitter and then on Facebook. I asked the question. We've gotten tons of responses. We'll tell you where that landed later. 866-34-TRUTH. So I wrote an article when I got back home on Saturday about the passing of Justice Ginsburg. And obviously, ideologically, I had massive differences with her, but that was not the place to lay all of that out or to attack her immediately after her passing, but to recognize the significance that she had in the eyes of many and to talk about the significance of her passing and the timing of it and the sobriety of this moment for us, and to say, if you thought the Kavanaugh hearings were intense, you haven't seen anything yet. I finished the article, I sent it out to my various outlets, and immediately after that, I wrote back and said, sorry, use this version instead. I added in a couple of lines. Why? Well, I went to see how this was being reported. Her passing was being reported within 24 hours on different websites. So conservative websites, liberal websites. So I went to the Huffington Post. And I went to the Huffington Post. This was the homepage of the Huffington Post. In black letters, stark black caps, apocalypse now. And then a coat hanger. Yeah, this was what was there on the homepage. Apocalypse now. And a coat hanger. This is how big the issue of abortion is on the left. This is how big the passing of Justice Ginsburg is. This is how massive the issue is with the potential of someone like Amy Coney Barrett coming on the court, only 48 years old, strong Catholic, strongly pro-life. It would be almost unthinkable that she would change her views on life and abortion and things like that in the court. So why the coat hanger? Well, this is going to reduce women to going back into back alleys or using coat hangers to try to kill the baby in the womb. So you know how high these stakes are. Now, we must not just look at the courts. We must, as followers of Jesus, put tremendous emphasis on reaching people, on changing hearts, on influencing opinions. If all that we do is change the courts, there'll ultimately be rebellion against the rulings. So we've got to look to change the courts while also looking to change people's hearts. Otherwise, things will get a little better and then much worse, all right? But let's look at some of the reaction from those on the left. Ezra Levant in Canada, conservative, who's suffered a lot in terms of freedom of speech restrictions in Canada, he points to a tweet from Professor Emmett McFarland, and he says this. McFarland is a professor at the University of Waterloo promoting violence against his political enemies. If you were a young woman in his class who was a Trump supporter, would you risk being a target of his violent rage if he found out about you? Should you transfer to a different class? And this is what McFarland, a university professor in Canada, tweeted. Burn Congress down before letting Trump try to appoint anyone to SCOTUS. Burn Congress down. Now, with activists in our streets literally setting buildings on fire, even historic buildings, and setting police precincts on fire and setting church buildings on fire, do you think that there are not a lot of people that would read that and take it quite literally? And do you think he did not mean it literally? I just want to emphasize how high the stakes are. All right, here's another tweet. Best-selling author Reza Aslan, he said this, over our dead bodies, literally. He's responding to the report from Mitch McConnell, President Trump's nominee will receive a vote on the floor of the United States Senate. And he says, over our dead bodies, literally. Now, Aslan is famously to the left and has had some radical positions that have been rejected and even mocked by others. But he is a best-selling author. He is a man of influence. He is a thinker. He did not write what he wrote lightly. Over our dead bodies, literally. Does he mean there's going to be mass suicide? No. Obviously, he's talking about we're going to fight back with whatever it takes, even if we die fighting. Friends, I'm just telling you what's out there. This is the moment in which we're living. Now, back away for a moment and think about this. What if Trump gets reelected? Let's say there's too much controversy or not enough Republican senators willing to take a stand and vote for a nominee. For whatever reason, things get delayed. Let's say Trump gets reelected and maintains a majority in the Senate. Let's just say that that happens. Do you think there's going to be less controversy then? When he appoints a replacement for Justice Ginsburg, a conservative, pro-life, female justice, as he's indicating he's going to do? Do you think there's going to be less opposition then and less calls to burn down Congress and less talk of over our dead bodies? Really? Then I encourage you to think again. All right, how about another tweet? Look at this one. The unhinged left, a thread. Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died today, so naturally the Democrats were respectful and honored her memory in a dignified way. Just kidding. Lego. Well, then you go down and read some of what's being said, and you, kind of shake your head. You think, yikes. I mean, this is intense language. This is very intense language. Now, Senator Cruz has broken things down and analyzed that this has happened before. Obviously, it's happened before where you appoint or nominate a justice to the Supreme Court during your final months as a president before elections. So you don't know if you're going to be reelected or not, or maybe you're just outgoing, you're finishing two terms, you're going to be outgoing. And what he's demonstrated is when you have the president and the Senate in the hands of the same party, then overwhelmingly, basically, it's just going to happen that they're going to go ahead and vote and appoint someone. And when it's, as we have with President, so that's what we have now with President Trump. If it's as it was with President Obama, so Democrat president, Republican Senate, then almost never does it go through. So the argument would be that's where we were 4 years ago. We're in a different situation now. Either way, this seat and the passing of Justice Ginsburg at this moment and during the beginning of what's called the Days of Awe in the Jewish calendar, days of introspection and repentance and seeking God, it is sobering beyond words. There is an article on Axios.com, and it says this, Democrats' Armageddon option. So notice the Armageddon words coming up a lot. I'd be curious to see how much that has come up in the last few days. Apocalypse, Armageddon. In other words, this is like end of the world battle. The article says this, furious Democrats are considering total war, profound changes to two branches of government, and even adding stars to the flag if Republicans jam through a Supreme Court nominee, then lose control of the Senate. On the table, adding Supreme Court justices? Democrats have said, hey, you're going to get people on in a way that we don't like. Then we come back into power and retake the Senate. Then we'll just add more justices. Make it 11, make it 13, and we'll outweigh you. What about this idea of, quote, adding stars to the flag? We're talking about adding Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico as actual states and then saying, OK, those we believe are going to be firmly in Democrat hands. So we'll just get our majority that way. Friends, this is something historic we're living through right now. Let us recognize the battle over abortion. This is what it comes down to. Let us recognize this is the battle for the soul of the nation. We'll be right back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Get to weigh in. Should the Republicans work with President Trump and try to get a nominee through now? If they can hold on to their slim majority, 53, but a couple already saying, no, we're not going to vote at this time. Even if you lose three, get down to 50-50, Mike Pence can cast the deciding vote. How is it going to go? It's a complex question in many ways. What if it didn't get things got delayed, so it was past the election, but then it's still before inauguration? I mean, there are all these different possibilities. But do you think it's the right thing to do for President Trump to fill this now? We'll give you an argument that's a separate argument from who's in power and who's in control and who's in the majority. A totally separate argument. We'll bring you that in a moment. But before we get into this, before we take you into our Twitter poll, again, number to call so you can weigh in, 866-34-TRUTH. You can be as partisan and dogmatic as you like. You are entitled to your opinion. Doesn't make it right or wrong. You're entitled to it, and that's what we invite you to share. But a quick shout out to everyone watching right now in America's Voice. You're watching. It's a Saturday night. You are watching Saturday night, September 26th. We've just passed what is called Shabbat Shuvah on the Jewish calendar, the Sabbath of repentance slash return, right between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Jewish traditional New Year, and the Day of Atonement. You're watching on a Saturday night, maybe on Dish TV or Pluto TV. So we can't take your calls live right now. This is our live radio show from earlier in the week. But we want to give you a special gift as a new America's Voice viewer. Maybe you didn't even know what channel you're on and you're watching on Pluto Dish on Saturday night, September 26th, or subsequently on YouTube. Here's what you do. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click to sign up for our emails. When you do, you'll see towards the bottom there, how did you find out about the website? You'll see a choice for America's Voice. Just check on that, all right? Check that off. And when you do, you automatically get signed up for our emails, which you'll find really informative, really helpful, special resources, lists of my articles and videos that you'll find relevant every single week. So that's there for you. And then you get an immediate free ebook. Everybody, you've never signed up for our emails, you get an immediate free ebook, which is 7 Secrets of the Real Messiah, a real eye-opening read. But if you're watching for the first time in America's Voice, you'll also get sent to the beginning of the week another mini book, an ebook, 5 Ways to Pray for America. All right, so go over there now, askdrbrown.org, sign up for the emails, and then designate that you heard us, saw us on America's Voice. Okay, so here's my Twitter poll. Do you believe the Republicans are being hypocritical and wanting to push through a SCOTUS nomination now when they refused to do so in similar circumstances in 2016? Or are they justified? Obviously, some would say, well, that's the whole thing. The circumstances weren't similar. So 19.7% said hypocritical. We've gotten almost 1,900 votes so far. 67.7% said justified. 12.6% not sure. So over 2/3 justified. Now, it's just us, our partisan sentiments. Hey, I'll be totally candid with you. I will be completely candid and straight with you. When it was President Obama trying to get a replacement for Scalia, I wanted the Republicans to resist it. I thought the argument sounded weak, that you want to wait for the next president so the people can make the choice. But didn't they make the choice by voting for President Obama? He's our president. I didn't vote for him, but he was our president. So didn't the nation make the choice when it elected him president? And one of the things he would get to do is fill Supreme Court vacancies. And certainly if a conservative died or resigned during that time, you would have expected President Obama to appoint a liberal, just like now you'd expect President Trump to appoint a conservative. So I didn't understand the reasoning behind it, but I didn't want it to go through. I was glad the Republicans resisted it. Now that it's a liberal justice being replaced, may God comfort the grieving Ginsburg family, now that it's a liberal justice being replaced and Trump has the opportunity to put a conservative justice in, I want him to do it. I want the Republicans to do it. Now, am I being hypocritical in my sentiments? Well, you could say yes, because I oppose the one or the other, but you could say no, but it's justified now, because circumstances are different. But as far as my feelings, I'm telling you candidly, it's just like rooting for a team. You want one team to win, the other team to lose. You want one person elected politically, another not elected. You want one person in the courts, another not in the courts, right? We don't wish anyone to die or anything like that, but we all have our sentiments. So I'm just telling you honestly how I felt. The question is there a legal argument for this? I asked the same question on Facebook. I have not had time to sort through the comments there because we already have 1,000 comments on our S. Dr. Brown Facebook page. But if you'd rather not call in, go over there to Facebook, Twitter, weigh in there. But here's an argument that Ted Cruz has raised and that Charlie Kirk has raised with Turning Point USA. Listen to this argument from Charlie Kirk saying things are different now.
Do you have any views on who the president should nominate from the list he's put out there or from the two favorites we're hearing about?
I definitely love the entire list the president has put out. But Steve, I want to reinforce the point I made earlier, which is when Democrats are promising that we will not know the winner on election night, when Hillary Clinton has said to Joe Biden, do not concede, quote, under any circumstances. And now that we know we are going to have a record amount of mail-in ballots, if you remember all the way back to 2000, it was bedlam. It was chaos. And this was just one state for 40 days that was contested. And it went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court in a very narrow decision. I think it would be very dangerous. In fact, I would advise against it completely if the Senate Republicans did not fill the, if the Senate in general did not fill this seat, because with this unpredictable year that we have lived through, Steve, talking about a multiple of mail-in ballots that will be going through, this will be tied up in the courts.
Oh,
Joe
yes.
Biden has 600 people that are lawyers on his payroll ready to sue this election. The Supreme Court is the third branch of government that should be able to make clarity of this an assuredly contested election. I, Steve, believe you should fill the seat before the election.
Yep. So that's the other argument. In fact, here's another question for you. 866-348-7884. Do you think that as of November 4th, we will have clarity in the elections? Do you think as of November 4th that we will have clarity? Sometimes things are close and waiting for final counting, and that could get you late at night. I remember when it was Bush Gore and finally deciding, okay, Nancy and I watching the news. Well, all right, finally going to sleep. And we lived in Florida then, and Florida was the deciding state, and then there's the county, deciding county. I remember having a dream that night. I had a dream that something literal had happened, but it played into the dream. I had gone to vote that day thinking that I had time to get to a particular voting precinct that would be open, but it closed an hour before I thought it was going to close. Yeah. So I go to vote, and I can't vote. Then I go that night to our ministry school, and we had a large gathering, a prayer meeting. And during the prayer meeting, it was announced. This part's all real. I'll get to the dream in a minute. During the prayer meeting, it was announced, and someone comes up with word to us, they have now called Florida for Al Gore. And you think, that's it, Gore's going to win the election then. I was there with a real man of faith. he actually said these words. He said, can we pray for God to reverse that? Reverse that? How does that work? Suddenly votes disappear, or they find ballots they didn't? I remember looking at him and we're like, well, I don't know. I mean, he asked an honest question. Can you pray that God would reverse that? And then soon enough, the word comes, you know, we're having this prayer meeting, and soon enough, the word comes that, no, it's not called for Gore. So I go to sleep that night. You know, Nancy and I watched as late as we could, and I was, okay, got to turn in. I go to sleep that night, and I said, oh, gosh, I got gripped. I got scared. In the dream, that Florida ended up a 100% dead heat tie. And as a result of that, Al Gore became the president. This is the way it unfolded in my dream. So in other words, if I had gotten to the precinct earlier and not waited to the last minute and cast my vote, that Florida then would have gone for Bush, and then Bush would have been the president. And it's not that it's the end of the world if Gore was elected, but strongly preferred Bush to Gore. But sometimes you need to vote like that's the case. Now, you may live in a state. It's like my state's totally blue or my state's totally red. My vote doesn't even count. You just vote as a matter of conscience, or vote to say, okay, I'm going to have my say. But do you actually think come November 3rd, the end of that day, now November 4th, that there's going to be clarity, that we will have a clear winner in the elections? That's the first part of the question. 866-34-TRUTH. Here's the second part of the question. Do you think if a winner is announced that the other side, whichever side that is, will accept it? Do you think if Joe Biden is announced as the winner and there have been early ballots coming in through mail and things like that, and who knows what reports, voter intimidation or whatever, illegal voters voting or whatever the charges are, do you think that the strongest Trump supporters will say, okay, hey, you had the election? You know, just like a sports event, you have all the trash talk beforehand, then you have the event. It's like, hey, we played the game. The outcome is clear. This, you just accept the results. Think that'll be the case? Or if Trump gets elected and maybe once again does not win the popular vote but wins the electoral vote, and there's dispute over voting ballots, you think that the Biden side, especially the most extreme, will just say, okay, hey, man, the man won fair and square? Do you think we'll have clarity in America as of November 4th? If you have a divided Supreme Court on top of it, you're talking about chaos with an explosive cocktail in the middle of it, ready to blow up into anarchy. I'm really not exaggerating. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So you hear that intro? Some friends that I saw over the weekend and past weekend in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where I've been on the air daily for 12-plus years, were like family in that regard. You've heard this introduction for many years, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. If you go to my Twitter page, so it's at Dr. Michael L. Brown. Make sure you get two L's in the middle, or Dr. Michael L. Brown at Twitter. You'll see this as the quote on my main page. This is the pinned quote back from 2014. The more a culture runs counter to God, the more committed I am to being a Jesus-centered counterculture revolutionary. What I mean is that the crazier the world gets around us, the more committed I am to follow Jesus and go against the grain of this culture and through the gospel, not through violence or anger or intimidation, but through the gospel, through the word and deed of the gospel, live a life that will help equip others to live that life, that will help impact the world around us to bring positive change. After all, if we could take a terrible downward moral and cultural change in many ways in the last 30, 40 years, who's to say there can't be a spiritual awakening that will bring moral clarity and that will wake up from the bizarre world in which we live now and have a different consciousness and a different awareness of God? If we can go one direction without God, why can't we go in another direction with God? 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think there will be clarity come November 4th? Do you think that the side that loses will accept the results of the elections? I've got a whole bunch of video clips I'm about to play for you. But first, let's go to the phones, and we'll start in Abilene, Texas. John, welcome to the Line of Fire. What's your take?
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thanks for having me on. You know, this is a really complicated subject, and it's really difficult as Christians to look at this and get any kind of clarity. You've certainly brought up some great points, as has Senator Cruz and Charlie Kirk. As far as whether there's going to be clarity, I don't think so. And I don't think that, you know, no matter who wins, I don't think that either side is really going to accept it. What we're seeing now, and we saw this on the Dan Bongino show where he referenced the Tucker Carlson clip, is that we're kind of in the midst of a color revolution coup where, you know, the left is basically creating a contested election. And then what happens is the party that they want in power, in this case, Biden-Harris and all of their supporters, are going to take to the streets and basically force through intimidation President Trump to resign. That's kind of what they're hoping is going to happen. And as Christians, this is a unique point in our history and in the history of this nation, in that we have never been promised in the gospel to have a life in the lap of luxury and prosperity and blessings and all these other things. In fact, Jesus promised us that we would be persecuted for his name. If we are his true followers, we will be persecuted for his name. And we, as Christians in the United States, have not really seen a whole lot of that in the past 50 years.
And now here's what's interesting, though. It's one thing to be persecuted for the name of Jesus. It's another thing to be attacked because you support Donald Trump, right? And that adds to the issue. You say, well, because of my Christian values, I support Donald Trump. Right, but being persecuted for Trump is not being persecuted for Jesus. So a lot to sort through here, and I appreciate you raised that. That leads right in to what happened on Friday night when I was on Mike Huckabee's show, and I was blessed to know that Governor Huckabee has followed my writings for years on the stream, and has appreciated my thought in terms of the gospel and politics and culture. And when I was done with the show, afterwards, he said this is the clearest he ever heard this, and then tweeted this out subsequently. So I want you to, we're going to go into the interview with Governor Huckabee from his TV show on TBN and listen to this discussion.
Evangelicals were without a doubt responsible for the election of Donald Trump in 2016. Had they not voted as much as they did for him, he would never have been elected. And the question is, will they do it again? So what do you think? Will they?
Yeah, I believe they will. I believe the support is even stronger now than it was. But he's the most unlikely candidate. I mean, I opposed him in the primaries. You were on my list of people.
Yeah.
I wrote against him. I warned. I said, if it's him versus Hillary, we'll reevaluate.
Yeah.
But I thought he's going to throw evangelicals under the bus once he's in. He can't be trusted. Look at his past. We're the ones saying character counts.
Yeah.
Morality matters. So he's married three times. He boasts about his Playboy stuff, you know, casino, strip club, all this. The last guy we'd want to elect. He's never going to keep his promises. He gets elected, and arguably, he's done more for evangelical causes than any president we've had.
You know, really has. I mean, pro-life, no president has done more.
Pro-life.
Israel?
Israel, I mean, amazing with Israel. Now, the peace treaties, religious liberties, fighting for that.
Yeah.
Fighting against radical trans activism. So many things he's done, standing up to Islamic terrorism, standing up to to China, the tyranny of China, all that. He's done so much for evangelical causes, and yet our association with him has hurt the evangelical cause. He gives a great inspirational speech on Mount Rushmore, a great civil rights speech.
Yeah.
And then next minute he's tweeting about Bubba Wallace. It's like, why are you doing this? He can be juvenile, he can be petty, he can be thin-skinned. He's calling this one a dog, he's throwing this one under the bus, and he's our man. So it is
a paradox, isn't it?
So what we have to do is proclaim to the world, Jesus died for our sins. He gets our life, our heart, our soul. Jesus is our Savior. Trump gets our vote. We vote for a president to do certain things. He's not our Savior. And if we could have our testimony be, this is who we are, this is how we live before this world. Watch us. And then, hey, here's why we voted for Trump. When it comes to the slaughter of the unborn, we think he's going to do a better job.
Yeah.
When it comes to protecting our fundamental liberties, we think he's going to do a better job. When it comes to standing against tyranny worldwide, we think he'll do a better job. So we don't like this. I wish he wouldn't say this. But that's who he is. We got a human bulldozer, basically. He does a lot of good, and there's a lot of collateral damage.
Yeah.
And when we weigh out the options, when it was him versus Hillary, when it was him versus now the Democrat agenda, which has gotten so radical left, I basically look at it as Trump versus mobocracy, Trump versus the cancel culture. So he'll get my vote. But at best, 4 years of Donald Trump is not going to save America.
Yeah.
4 years more of Donald Trump is a wedge in the door before it collapses, so the church can wake up and get about doing what we're called to do, because that's the only hope of the nation.
I think you are 100% right. You know, I've known too many people that thought that if we just elect this person or that they will fix all the problems. But if the problems are basically spiritual, it's not the politicians who are going to fix that. It really is going to be that there is a renewal among people of faith who apply biblical principles. And that's really, I think, the heart of your book, is that evangelicals are not voting for Donald Trump because they say, oh, he is one of us. I told him to his face in front of 1,200 people. I said, this was when he was candidate Trump. I said, Mr. Trump, I'm not sure you could find John 3:16 in a Mark New Testament.
Yep.
And he laughed because he knew he couldn't.
Exactly.
That's just the fact. But You talk about the fact that this is not about electing him as our spiritual leader, but as a government leader to do things that maybe he's the only one that's got the guts to go out there and do, despite the tweets and some things that make people uncomfortable.
Here's what we have to do. We have to be willing to call balls and strikes. We don't need to defend him. I don't preach Trump, I preach Jesus. My whole goal is not to be an apologist to the president. I will justify my vote. I will explain why I'm voting for him. And to me, it's a no-brainer. It's an easy thing to do to say why I'm voting for him. And then I will say, but character does count. Morality does matter. I've never departed from that. So his character flaws hurt him, hurt us. I think in a sense, the whole nation's been a little degraded. We've kind of gone crazy. You know, there was the identity politics under President Obama. Now the salt in the wounds with Donald Trump. It's even more extreme. But we don't have to play along with that. We can say he gets my vote. Look, as a politician, what do you want? You want my vote. You have my vote. You have my prayers to do what you're doing. And then I've got to go about doing the work of the gospel.
You know, I hope 80 million evangelicals in this country hear what you just said. You've said it better than anyone I've heard. And that's one of the reasons I love your voice. I love to read the things that you do. And this book is one more reason that it's easy to appreciate how you've come. And thank goodness you did, from LSD to PhD. And we are grateful for that. Michael Brown, thank you for coming. And please come back and visit us again. I love your message.
Thank you.
My great joy to have you here. Michael Brown.
All right. So, friends, if you missed that clip, you can see it on Huckabee TV. We have it linked elsewhere. And by all means, check out Evangelicals at the Crossroads, especially if you're undecided, especially if you agree with Trump's policies but just have a massive problem with Trump the person. Read the book, because you'll see we really are fair. You heard me there. I didn't mince words talking about the president's weaknesses and shortcomings, but the reason I voted for him, knowing all those things could be there, was for policy reasons, was for court reasons, was for standing up to Islamic terror reasons, was for standing for Israel reasons, standing for the unborn. But I'm not his apologist, and I don't need to defend him. I'm going to defend the gospel. I'm going to preach Jesus. I preach Christ crucified, not Trump elected, okay? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Michael in Salt Lake City, Utah, what's your take? Should Republicans try to push through a nominee?
Yeah, absolutely. You can hear me, right, Dr. Brown?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, praise God for you, brother. I love you, man. Just wanted to say, what Rush Limbaugh always says is elections have consequences. And the reason why the Republicans didn't allow a vote to come up when Obama wanted to put forth a Supreme Court justice was because they had power in the Senate, and they said, we won't even take a vote on it. So at this point in time, the Republicans have the power to either take up the vote or put it down. And it's a position that the citizens put them in, that position to be able to have that power. So if the Republicans have the power, they almost have a mandate to put a Supreme Court justice up for a vote now.
Yeah, Michael, I'm just jumping in because of the break, but a succinct and clear argument and rationale. Those are the people we voted in. This is where it stands. They should take action. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss what's coming.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, a little drama in today's broadcast. You know, we often have challenges on social media about getting our message out. Thank God over the years we've been able to get it out. When there's been pushback against us, we've been able to overcome it. But virtually every one of my YouTube videos, we have more than 2,000 now on the Ask Dr. Brown YouTube channel, ASKDR Brown. Virtually everyone, when it's posted, immediately gets flagged, and then someone has to review it, and probably 80, 90% of them get approved, and then 10, 20% don't get approved, not to air, but for monetization. So in other words, for ads or for income that would go into producing more videos and things like that. Well, the first time this happened, in the middle of our live stream on YouTube, the stream got stopped and said we were in violation. Well, it was some type of copyright violation, perhaps, for the playing of the Huckabee clip on YouTube. Either way, we're back over on YouTube. So the little drama, if you're like, what's going on? They're not letting him talk. But it, apparently that wasn't the issue. Trust me, we have had enough other issues over the years, but we keep persevering. And a lot of folks pray for us, and I'm confident that makes a difference. Hey, another reminder, if you're watching, it's Saturday night, September 26th. You're watching on Pluto or Dish TV on the America's Voice Network or elsewhere on America's Voice Network. Check out our website, because we have a special gift for you. Go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Just sign up to get our emails. You'll automatically get a really neat, eye-opening, free mini book. Everybody gets that, 7 Secrets of the Real Messiah. But when you click where you heard about us on the bottom of the page, Just designate America's Voice, and we want to send you the beginning of the week another mini book, an ebook free, 5 ways to pray for America. Okay. Let me close out today's broadcast with perhaps a segment you could call Truth Stranger Than Fiction. There is a clip now from Senator John Kerry, former Secretary of State John Kerry, and he was heavily involved in trying to bring peace to the Middle East. I mean, back and forth endlessly, meeting with Israel, meeting with Muslim Arab leaders and things like that. And he made a statement 4 years ago, very clearly and with a lot of authority. And look, he knows a ton more about the situation on the ground than I do. I mean, with his intimate involvement and details and background and access to all the leaders. So listen to what he said 4 years ago.
There will be no separate peace between Israel and the Arab world. I want to make that very clear to all of you. I've heard several prominent politicians in Israel sometimes saying, well, the Arab world's in a different place now. We just have to reach out to them and we can work some things with the Arab world and we'll deal with the Palestinians. No, 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 and no. I can tell you that reaffirmed even in the last week as I have talked to leaders of the Arab community. There will be no advance and separate peace with the Arab world without the Palestinian process and Palestinian peace. Everybody needs to understand that. That is a hard reality.
That's one of those quotes that didn't age well. Again, Secretary of State Kerry knows infinitely, not infinitely, but massively more about the security issues and the economic issues and the on-the-ground issues and where different leaders stand and the secret intelligence, you know, all this stuff we don't have access to. He knows all that. And that seemed to be the absolute reality. It will not happen. There must be peace with Palestinians, two-state solution, something workable, viable for the Palestinians, and then the rest of the Muslim world surrounding Arab world, then they'll consider joining it. It won't happen otherwise. Well, it's happened with UAE, Bahrain, and maybe others. I didn't post that to mock Secretary of State Kerry, but to say there's a lot we don't know. And we can be ultra dogmatic today and think we've got it all figured out with Israel and the Middle East and tomorrow find ourselves dead wrong. Tread lightly when it comes to those things. Okay, truth is stranger than fiction. Did you know about the couple that was held hostage by the Taliban years ago with kids? And I was not familiar with this story until a staff member brought it up at a staff meeting a few days ago. But check this story out. There is a couple, Canadian couple, held hostage by Taliban link group. They were in Pakistan, and they did not believe that Trump was president. You say, what does that mean? So they're held captive by their Pakistani Taliban-related captors. They have no information on what's happening in the outside world. And they had to record a video, you know, proof of life. And sometimes you have to reference contemporary events to say, okay, it's this date. This team just won this game. This one just was elected here. So people know it's a current video, right? And the captors told them that Donald Trump was the president to give them up-to-date news. He said, it didn't enter my mind to take it seriously. He thought that they were just playing games with him, some kind of psychological warfare or whatever, just mocking them, because it was so completely unrealistic that Trump would be the president. I mean, you have to remember how unlikely this whole thing seemed. And now being the champion of the evangelical cause and the champion of the pro-life movement, I mean, you don't script it like this because it's too crazy. But it gets crazier still. All right, so in the world of sports, of course, there's constant talk, especially among many black athletes, about, hey, it's good America understands our history better now. It's good that America knows some of the issues that we've had to deal with and the prejudices that we faced and the racism that we face and things like that. So the sports world making very loud statements about Black Lives Matter and things like that. So there is a big fight, MMA, mixed martial arts, this past Saturday night. And it's a black man versus a white man. And the white guy can be a real jerk. I mean, he's known for that. He says provocatory things. He tries to get people upset, and it's, you know, to sell tickets and to get interest in the fight. But interestingly, his opponent, a black gentleman, is more soft-spoken really about these issues. He decides that he wants to stir things up a little bit also. So this is from the pre-fight interview with Tyrone Woodley. And every answer, we go on for minutes with this, but we'll play an excerpt. Every answer, he's going to say, Black Lives Matter. Let's listen.
Originally, we all thought that you and Colby were going to be up there together, and this was going to be a joint press conference. We find out it's not. Let me ask you, are you disappointed that you don't get the chance to face him down, to you know, deal with him, or are you kind of happy you don't have to put up with his stuff today?
I'm just excited that Black Lives Matter.
Are you surprised that in the lead up to this fight that he hasn't been more vocal? I mean, this is Colby Covington. He's almost been respectful of you. Is that shocking to you at all that he hasn't gone into more like he normally does?
You know, I'm just really excited that Black Lives Matter.
Fair enough. And we know that it looks like Usman and Burns is later, you know, this year. A win here would be big for you. Would you keep yourself ready to be a fill-in opponent on a title fight, or are you at a point in your career where you wouldn't do that?
I feel like, you know, a victory here just really shows how much Black Lives Matter.
All right. So that's an interview a few days before the fight, right? Then Covington wins convincingly. And now this is his interview after the fight. Listen to this.
John Anik, let me start off by saying you've been doing a tremendous job lately. You've been working so hard tonight, so let me take this off your hands for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, the silent majority is ready to make some noise. If you thought that was a beating, wait till November 3rd when Donald Trump gets his hands on Sleepy Joe. That's going to be a landslide.
Hey,
and I want to dedicate this fight to all the first responders, all the military out there. You know, this world would not be safe without you guys. You know, you keep us safe. And, you know, not these woke athletes, man. I'm sick of these woke athletes and these spineless cowards like LeBron James.
So this is after the fight, okay? So this is actually going on in real life. This is after the fight. The whole thing politicized and these inflammatory comments in all directions. And now it's a little bit later. So all the athletes come on the post-fight interviews, and Colby Covington is being interviewed. Now listen to what happens.
So this is the best I've ever looked, and oh, the POTUS is calling me. Mr. President!
You gonna put that on speaker for us, or what?
Mr. President!
Okay, so this is mixed martial arts, a UFC fight, and Covington's been an open supporter of Trump. Trump shook his hands at a rally, and Trump actually calls him, so they play the call. This actually happened Saturday night. They play the call for everyone to hear. So we won't get to listen to all of it, but this truth is stranger than fiction. This is the world we're living in now. Let's listen to part of this.
You are a great fighter, man. I'll tell you. You make it so easy. I don't know how to have you do that. Congratulations. I wanted to watch that fight tonight. I wanted to watch it. You were great.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. You gave me the dragon energy when you shook my hand on Sunday at your rally, and it doesn't matter if King Kong was in front of me, I was not going to lose after getting to shake your hand and beat
you
your
rally. You weren't going to lose. Well, he's a strong-looking guy, too. He's a tough guy. He's a great fighter. He was a champ, and that was easy work, relatively easy work for you. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you so much,
Mr.
President.
I'm proud of you. I just made a big speech. I had 35,000 people. I said, I got to get home now to watch Kobe. That was fast work. Well, great. He's a tough guy, and he's a good fighter, right?
Yeah.
Did he give you much of a problem? What did you see? Strong guy, right?
Yeah, strong guy, former champion, but it didn't matter who was in there, Mr. President. After getting to see you, I don't care if there was a Superman in there. I was beating anybody.
That's great, Kobe. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan, and I'm proud of you. You're tough. You're tough. You have the right spirit. So now go.
All right. So, friends, you know where sanity's going to come from? Not from the world of sports, not from the world of politics. It's got to come from us, the people of God. Let's rise up and get our message out to the world. Let's preach Jesus and Him crucified, risen, coming again. That's our message.